This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second hour of the show. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on an F Yeah Friday. If you're just tuning in and you missed the first hour, you missed Charlie Polillo from 1:30 to 2. You missed us on a variety of different topics that you can catch either by going Podcast Arena or ESPN975.com and getting in with the podcast and the things that you missed. Our comedian of the week is Ashton Womack. Another clip coming up after this segment, Barry. And anything else you want to add on, Ashton?
No, he, like I said, he is, he hinted that you might be seeing him on late night TV later this year. He's also doing, the college tour thing, which is usually the next step for dudes that are going to launch their careers. Cause you do the college circuit, that means you've hooked up with an agency and, yeah, he's well on his way, man. I'm really happy for that dude. Cause he's really funny.
Yeah, he's definitely, the first clip was great. So we'll have two more clips coming, 2:15, 3:15. So stay tuned for those.
By the way, some breaking news out of Patriots Niners camp. There was a trade. They were working on it last night. It's still being worked on, but it has probably been agreed to. But the Patriots trade with the 49ers for offensive tackle Trent Brown. So the Niners, obviously, with their pick in the draft, which nobody's really talking about. But the fact that the Niners went out and drafted a tackle on the right side. They have Joe Staley, but they went out and drafted McGlinchey and with the ninth pick. So they've got two really good tackles, which meant, you know, they really didn't have a spot for Trent Brown. So Trent Brown now goes to New England, who they also picked up an offensive lineman. So it's just crazy that you watch these teams and the Patriots got so much better on day one. They had two picks. Now they make this trade. They bolstered their offensive line again.
Yep.
But, man, the Niners are getting scary.
They're young and good. And for as much heat as John Lynch took when he took the job with no experience, so far so good if you're a Niners fan in believing in John Lynch because he's doing it. And from a Patriots perspective, look, you can hate them all you want, but they know exactly what they're doing. They lost Solder. They needed an offensive line help. They went out and got it. Nick and I were talking in the break. The reason why I like the Sony Michel pick so much is the fact that they lost Deion Lewis. And Sony Michel is a perfect replacement for Deion Lewis. Younger, a little bit maybe more of a powerful back in terms of the running back part of that equation, but he can catch the ball to the backfield. They know what the hell they're doing. And that's why they're always constantly at the top of the AFC. So, yeah, and you're right.
They get win. They get the win out of Georgia for the offensive line. Then they get a running back. And then now they make a trade. So in day one, they've bolstered their offensive line. Like you said, they lost Solder, but they bolstered their offensive line and got better at running back. Mm-hmm. And they continue to you know, be the Patriots and continue to win and are able to do something, it seems like, every year to get better, where a lot of teams are like,
watch what they do today, because if they somehow finagle their way into a couple of receivers to replace Amendola and bolster their receiving core too, where they've been a little light, then they are scary.
The deal was they get Trent Brown from the Niners. They send the Niners the 95th pick, and then they also get the Niners pick at 143. So they swap, they move down to 143 and get Brown. The Niners move up to 95.
Yeah. So that's definitely worth talking about. That's Patriots football, and that's what they're doing. As much as I hate them, you got to tip your cap that they know what they're doing, and and it's on the other side of the coin, like you said, look, the Niners are doing it too. They got their quarterback. They're building around a good young nucleus of talent. And like you said, they're going to be scary in the future, and they're coming because once Garoppolo got there, it didn't take him long to settle right in and start slinging that thing, and they were scoring points. So that's going to be an interesting team to keep an eye on.
Never mind the future. They're going to be scary next year. They have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball now. It's crazy how quickly they got good.
Yeah, they go to Green Bay this year. That'll be an interesting game to see just how far advanced
they are. I'm picking Niners.
That's shocking to me, Barry. and this whole Josh Rosen thing, look, I've had enough of them already. And I don't know if you saw this or not.
You don't say.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I'm sure he was coached up, right? I'm sure that between his agent and people around him, they were like, look, the knock on you is you're a horrible teammate. You're not a really good person. You're fed with a silver spoon. You got to get out of that. So, you know, he falls to 10. The Cardinals trade up to get him. And when they first get him right after he's picked, he's somewhat humble. You know, he's basically just, hey, I just want to put the pads on. I want to play football. Says all the right things. Then he goes in the back and gets in front of a podium and basically says, I'm pissed. I thought I should have been picked at 1, 2, or 3. I'm really, really angry. I wasn't really showing it. I was trying to keep calm and cool, but then I thought I was going to get picked, and I thought I was going to have to put on a face and fake happiness. For some reason, right when I got that call, that's not what happened. I got happy, and I'm really motivated, but I want to get on a plane right now, go straight to Arizona, start working, and I'm going to make 9 teams pay for passing on me.
But that doesn't make him an a-hole.
I'm not done, though. Okay? So that, even there, I would have been okay. But then he says, they said, so do you think you're going to start right away? Because, of course, the media is going to bait him a little bit. And he's like, no, I don't want to throw S on the wall. And I don't want to come across as an a-hole. But, you know, they took me for a reason. And, you know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to play football for the Cardinals for many, many years and do this and do that. And it's like, dude, at some point, you know what? You're playing in a locker room now, not at UCLA. You're playing with a lot of veterans, and you're going to rub guys the wrong way before you even take a snap behind center, including two guys in Mike Glennon and Sam Bradford that you're going to be in competition with, or if you're lucky, they're going to help you settle into the league and the team with. But just shut your mouth, try and be humble, and just go out and prove it. If you come in from day one and you're lights out, you will get the opportunity, and you can shut everybody up, but he's just running his mouth too much for me.
Well, all right. You're passionate about it. I see that.
You hear it too. I know. You got it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's one of those things where you see guys like, who was it that, oh, I wear number 2 because I went second. And Tom Brady, that's what drove Tom Brady. He was so motivated because he was picked so late in the draft. And that's what made Tom Brady great. So
wasn't Bregman, he wears 2 because he was picked 2?
That's who it was. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
He's young.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, look, he's, you know, everybody said he's the most poised, the most ready, the most, you know, mechanically skilled, all these other things. Well, then go out on the field and show it, and you're not going to have a single thing to worry about. But all this talking to me is just annoying me more with a guy that already seems to be a little bit overdone.
Yeah.
Well.
It happens.
Hey, I get,
you know what's not overdone?
Time.
You know what's never overdone?
The
chicken fried steak
at
Cowboys and Indians. The non-quesadillas, never overdone at Cowboys and Indians. Guys, I'm telling you right now, if you have not been out to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen to eat, you need to get out there for lunch. I know it's past lunch right now. Go have dinner. Make it a lunch trip on Monday or Tuesday. Man, it's some of the best food in the city of Houston. They're located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. If you don't know what Cowboys and Indians is, it's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. You're going to love this place. Now, I'll admit, I didn't like Indian food. I had tried it one time, and I was just not a fan. So when I went to Cowboys and Indians, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was skeptical. I was like, I don't know about butter chicken. I'll try it. Guys, this is legit good Indian food. They've made me a believer. They converted me. Haas and his crew have taken family recipes, passed down over generations, and perfected them in the kitchen. And then they serve them to you. Everything is made fresh, so it's not like sitting around and then they warm it up. I've had the chicken fried steak. And when I got it, he told me it's locally sourced meat. When they have they bread it, then they cook it, they bring it out to you, so it's fresh and tastes amazing. And they've got a really diverse menu. They've got sliders and wings and that's on one side of the menu. Then you look at the other side, they've got a chicken curry if you want to try that. Like I mentioned, some of the best butter chicken in Houston. For me, and I've always said this, and everyone that's tried it has agreed, they have one of the best burgers in Houston. It's called the Himalayan Heat Burger. It's perfect. And do like producer Tyler did, request some 65 sauce on the side and add it. Oh, it's amazing. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. If you mention ESPN 97.5, you can get 20% off of those quesadillas that Joel mentioned that are made with naan bread, full-service bar, TVs, and you can have it delivered to your home via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. One more time, it's 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I don't know. I think I'm about to leave my Facebook. I think way too many people have access to me on Facebook. Where the other day I was all happy, posted a status. I was like, just got paid. First person to like it was AT&T. What else about me? I got a lisp. Sorry, front runner. Now, whoever invented the word lisp is an a-hole. I only say a-hole because I can't say the two S's in it. So. For real, man. They put the S right in the middle of the word. Came back, I got lisp. Yeah, dog, I felt it. You said lisp. One time, I was at AT&T. I was trying to get a new phone number. Lady was like, okay, here's your new number. It's 713-667-7787. I was like, hell no, it ain't. You gotta throw some threes in that mug. A strong nine, I ain't about to.
Hey, you know what? It's good stuff. We are back on The Usual Suspects. That's our comedian of the week, Ashton Womack. So we've got one more clip at 3:15. Barry gave you some background on Ashton, and he is up and coming. Look for him to make some appearances on some predominantly popular late-night TV in the next, 6 months, Barry?
Probably, yeah. I would say this year at some point. Also, hey, I know we've got different listeners, and I saw that we hit, thanks to Pink Valkyrie, Christina hit us with a donation to get Nick's fundraiser to meet our goal, meet his goal.
Yep.
He upped the goal, and I think we can do it. I think before the end of the show, we can hit 500 now. It's a great cause. Yeah. So I tweeted it out. You can go. It's probably my top tweet right now. At Barry is funny. I think you guys retweeted it
as well.
Yep. Yeah, so it's right at the top of my page. So just at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. Check it out. You can go to Facebook and donate. I mean, you can donate $20, $10, $5, but it's for a great cause, and it's for Nick's birthday. Do it for Nick. Do it for his birthday.
Appreciate that, man. I did feel weird about upping the fundraiser to $500, but you did remind me that JJ did it.
JJ Watt did that. Yeah.
So that makes me feel a bit better.
You got to. Once the goal is met and there's still time on the clock, you just got to keep pushing.
Damn right.
It's a grind, Nick. You got to keep pushing every day, baby. It's a grind.
Hopefully listeners can help. I had a few friends that helped donate yesterday, so hopefully we'll meet the goal. It's a good cause.
We're sitting at $225. I know Pac-Man Joel's going to match my donation. I know he is.
I didn't even see how I did that, Nick.
It's $25. I'm a poor comic. I only did $25. I felt bad. Christina made me look bad.
I donated $250 or something like that.
I know.
Someone on the text line I just checked said, Nick, can you send me your link for the fundraiser? And I don't think we can do that via the text line, right?
No, you can't send it out. I haven't even opened the text line.
I don't know if he can respond, but if he retext,
just go to Twitter.
If he texts,
you can see it on Twitter without even having to follow us. You can go to Twitter. I mean, none of our Twitters are private.
If you're not on Twitter, you're only on Facebook. If there's another platform you want me to send the link to, just tell me who you are and what, you know. Just tell me how I can reach out to you and send you
the link.
Give
him your email, Nick. Give him your phone number. I'll give him your phone number. It's 832.
Barry is not shy about giving out phone numbers. Let's remember that.
I do remember that.
Yeah. We got calls, Barry, so let's get to a couple of calls because we haven't checked text or calls. Let's get to Lawrence first. He's been waiting the longest. Wants to talk about the draft. Lawrence, what's up, man?
Yes, I got two things. If I was the Browns, there's no way I would have passed up on Barkley because you still would have got a quarterback, like at least one of the top three quarterbacks anyway. And my second thing is, you know, by the Texans not having a draft pick, it seemed like stuck in quicksand, man. Not picking all the way to the third round. I'll hang up and listen. What y'all guys think?
Well, I'll say this, Barry. The one thing that I heard Raheel and Dell talk about it, I couldn't disagree more, but they were like, these guys should have been at home last night if you're the Texans because you don't have a pick till the third round. But no, you should be there because you should be working the phones with all the trades that were going on. If there was a player or a situation that presented itself, you guys all have to be in the same room in case there's an opportunity to move up and get into one of the first two rounds that with a pick that you lost because of the whole Brock Osweiler situation, and then making up for it by getting Deshaun Watson. So you got to be there. But yeah, it's a different feel for the Texans. They had a draft party and a viewing party and all that other stuff. I think they got another one tonight, but it's hard to be there when the team doesn't have a pick. But, you know, that changes tonight. They got three picks in the third round. And look, I like what they've done already in free agency, and I like the kind of fresh approach that Brian Gain has brought to the table. So we'll see what happens. In terms of the Browns, I think, Barry, you and I both said this, but, if there was a guy that you liked, and the rumor was Dorsey, the GM of the new GM of the Browns, had a quarterback that he had his eye on for the last 6 weeks or more, possibly longer than that, and he already had his mind made up. If that's the case, you either roll the dice or you get your guy, because there's no one in front of you. And if Mayfield was indeed the guy, you got to roll the dice and hope he slides to four, which there was a possibility he could. But that's, you know, they did it the way they felt best and most confident to get the players they wanted, and they got who they got who they wanted.
I mean, when you have that first pick, you better get who you want. There's no excuse. So if that rumor was true, then they picked out Mayfield early on and rode with it. So as far as the Texans go, I think I've always looked at it this way. Do you think that any of these quarterbacks are better than Deshaun Watson? Because that's what you're really comparing it to. When they made the move, I was like, ugh, you just mortgaged your future, which I didn't like. I like the fact that they went out and got a QB, but I didn't like the fact that they mortgaged their future when you knew that there was going to be four or five quarterbacks in this draft class in 2018 that you could take. So I think you have to decide. Are you happy with Deshaun Watson, or would you much rather have them pick some other players in last year's draft and then been able to draft a guy at four, like, you know, Rosen or Josh Allen or somebody like that? Because when you look at this draft too, you got to see who's already been taken. Darnold wouldn't be there for you. And neither would, Baker Mayfield. So the question becomes, who do you like more? Do you like Deshaun Watson, or do you like Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, or anybody else like Lamar Jackson? So, for me, I think they did the right thing by grabbing Deshaun Watson and just sitting this round out.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just feeling sorry for the fact that it wasn't a very eventful first day because you were forced to watch it and you knew you weren't participating. But that's the price you pay, and you got your guy, like that's you right. said. So
you got your franchise QB.
Yeah, no problem with that. Where, as long as you finally figured it out.
Where do you think Deshaun Watson would go in this draft of these quarterbacks?
You know what? In my mind, as much as it's a travesty, but the way that these guys evaluated talent, think about it. He wasn't the highest rated quarterback last year, and he wasn't the first taken. It's scary to think that he would have been rated behind at least two, if not three, of these guys, and that would have been a travesty based on, even if we don't know how he's going to perform, and no one could have predicted that he was going to perform to the level that he was right off the bat in the NFL. But the bottom line was, on the biggest stage of college football, he excelled, yet he wasn't even the number one quarterback taken and the highest rated quarterback last year. So I got to believe he would be behind two, if not three, of the guys this year, even though I completely disagree with it.
Yeah, I mean, he was behind Mitch Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
were the ones that were drafted ahead of him. So, I mean, I think that he's obviously proven that he's as good as those guys.
I think he's better.
It's going to be interesting to see. I think, though, in the long run, the Texans made the right move. Even though I didn't like it, what I didn't like is the fact that they didn't have a second round pick. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have any of those left, but they really didn't have a choice, man. The Brock thing, like it or not, they made chicken salad out of chicken bleep.
Yep.
And the price to pay
it.
For that.
Let it fly.
The price to pay is sitting out. So
yeah.
I know we got to go to break. So
Lawrence, we appreciate the call. Eric, Scott, hang in there. We'll get you after the break. We'll also get some other things on the table to talk about, including NBA playoffs resuming tonight with some very important games, including the Rockets looking to see if they might finally figure out who they're playing in the second round. So we can get to that as well. But we'll continue to roll on. Right now, I want to tell you about Greater Texan Health. Because, guys, some of you are out there suffering from ED. You've taken the pills. You haven't seen the results. You know how frustrating that can be. And ED is an issue many men deal with. And Greater Texan Health can help you. Greater Texan Health is going to meet you in person, put together a customized plan to help you end ED today. Right now, they're offering a free confidential exam and testing. All you got to do is call them, set up an appointment. They'll do the rest. And again, it's all free. They even test for low T, and instead of sending the results out and you have to wait days, if not a week, to get your results, you get your results within 30 minutes. They do it all at their state-of-the-art clinic, and their clinic is right here in the heart of town so that you can get there from anywhere. They're on South Main, right over by NRG Stadium, so they can be accessed from Pearland and from any highway, and you can get in and out quickly, and they'll take care of you. If their recommendations don't work, you get a full refund. So the consultation's free. They do all the testing, and if the recommendations don't work, you get a refund. It's hard to pass this up, guys, if you've been suffering with this issue. Call them today. Set up an appointment. Free exam and testing. 713-554-4915. 713-554-4915. Or check them out online at greatertexanshealth.com. greatertexanshealth.com. Once a Texan, always a Texan. Greater Texan Health.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we are. Continuing to roll on. Second half of the show, it's The Usual Suspects. It's Barry in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's Nick and I here on an FEF Friday. If you missed any part of the show, please check the podcast or get on the website and get some of that information on the podcast. Ashton Womack, our comedian of the week. We've got calls waiting, so we're going to get right back to him. We were talking about the draft for the last couple of segments, and it looks as if Eric was next. He wants to talk about the Cowboys. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just have a quick question. I know the Cowboys can't go wrong picking any position in the second and third round. If Maurice Hurst is up there or Will Hernandez, should they take him or should they focus on the receiver? And now tight ends and Stack, the Eliminator, eliminated Romo, Dez, and now Witten.
So I'm sensing a little bit of sarcasm and anger in your voice. Look, we know that there are some tight ends out there, and it's not official yet on Jason Witten, but we'll have to. It remains to be seen. But look, there's some quality tight ends out there. Gesicki is still out there, a guy that we talked about here on the show. It depends on if you like. Look, there's SMU's wide receiver Cortland Sutton is a guy that a lot of people had going in the first round, thought was a sleeper pick. He could be there. The Cowboys are familiar with him. So those are picks, Barry, I'll throw out there as potential picks for the Cowboys. Look, I thought they were going to take Ridley last night, and they didn't when they went with Vander Esch. So we'll see what the Cowboys do. They're very unpredictable, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't even think I understood what he was asking about. What was his question, so to speak?
I think he's a fan, but he wanted to bash what they have and what they've done. But, like, who do we see them taking in the second, third round tonight?
They wanted a linebacker. They needed a linebacker. They got a linebacker. They're probably looking for offensive line. Now with Witten retiring, tight end. Wide receiver is obviously a requirement for them, but you got to balance that with who's available. Ridley gone. DJ Moore is. I could see Jerry Jones also taking a flyer on somebody like Christian Kirk on day two. So,
because DJ Moore went to Carolina last night, late in the first round. So,
yeah.
Yeah, Steve Smith says.
So Christian Kirk might be a guy you might see second or third with their third round pick, maybe.
Which is enough of something that we talked on the show leading up to the draft, that we thought Christian Kirk was more of a second, third round guy. A lot of people were thinking he'd go in the first round from A&M, and he didn't get drafted last night. So maybe a value pick there along the way. But at least in the state of Texas, the Cowboys people didn't have to go far if they take a look at either Sutton or Kirk, for that matter.
Yep.
Brad wants to get in here and talk about the Browns draft. Brad, what's up?
Hey. Cowboys. We've known for several weeks now that the Giants were interested in Barkley and Saquon, and they really didn't make any bones about it. That's the guy they wanted. So did the Browns kind of botch this first pick by not, pushing that button and saying, hey, that's the guy we're going to get, or maybe even work with someone who was interested in trading up to maybe get Barkley with the number one pick, just so they could force the Giants into trading with him one spot?
I mean, look,
I don't know.
Go ahead, Barry.
I don't think you can. I don't think it becomes that big of a. The Browns need a quarterback, and this was a quarterback draft with five potential first round picks. And you gamble because the Giants might sneak up there and then say, well, you know what? We just got our franchise behind Eli. So if you're the Browns, you probably don't want to take that chance.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess with the fourth pick, looking at it with their selections, I mean, I guess just going back several weeks, it was pretty clear that the Giants were not in – they were not going to be in quarterback mode. I mean, they're probably at least – maybe probably next year before they start looking at their future quarterback. I don't know. Just thinking, maybe overthinking it a little bit, but you know how the Browns have been, you know how great they've been with their picks
but,
over
but
the years.
But here's the thing, Brad.
It seemed like they could have maybe got a little something more out of it, because I guess looking at it, I was disappointed with the pick of Baker Mayfield for them. I don't know. This didn't seem like, you know, and if that's the guy they wanted, I thought they could have got him at four, or at least done something alone to get more value out of that first pick.
I mean, here's the thing, Brad. We talked about this with a question that came up just a little earlier, and that is the fact that if they did truly have their guy targeted and they got the guy that they wanted, then regardless of whether everybody agrees with them or not and the fan base likes it or not, the bottom line is these guys are putting their mark on this franchise. They're new with Dorsey and Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf and all the guys that they brought in on the personnel side, and they're going to try and do it their way because they have no choice, because at the end of the day, that's what they're responsible for. And then you don't know how they rated Saquon Barkley and how they looked at their running back situation and if they felt like this was the guy that they had to have too, because you're rolling the dice if Mayfield is your guy and then you take Barkley first, running the risk that the Jets or somebody else might see what you saw. And it, kind of what Barry was saying earlier was just make – you've needed a quarterback for so long, you better make sure you get your guy. And whether we agree with it or not, if Baker Mayfield was their guy – then they got to make sure that they get him instead of – because you're in the position of control at one. But obviously you got to roll the dice if you're at four hoping that he slides.
Well, I know we got to go to break, but I just want to – just to add on top of that, you have to look at it this way. They got the quarterback that they felt like they wanted, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
They also added
Ward.
What the hell was his name? Yeah, Ward. So they got help on defense. And look what happened. Two really good running backs slipped. They got the first pick in the second round. If they add a Chubb, what was the other name? Guys, they're good. I mean, they got a running back that is, to me, I mean, obviously Saquon Barkley was probably the best player in this draft, but are you really upset if they get, the third best running back in the draft at the top of the second round and also got a quarterback and help on defense?
And they've got a choice.
I don't think that they misplayed this in that way.
They've got a choice.
But they got lucky, too. They got lucky that guys like Chubb fell to the second round.
Right. Chubb and Geis, and they've got guys they can choose if they still do want a running back. But maybe they felt like that was the premier corner in the entire draft and better than anybody else they had on their board, and they wanted to make sure they got him. So, like I said, they got their guys. You're right. We both said the same thing. And if you're a Browns fan, hey, I know this is hard to hear, but be patient. You just got to let it see play out and see how they end up performing. So, we'll continue to roll on. We've got NBA playoffs to talk about as well, with the Jazz and the Thunder playing in Salt Lake City tonight. We've got the Cavaliers trying to close out the Pacers. We've got the Raptors and Wizards going in Game 6. So, lots to talk about there and lots more on the agenda. We'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Drinking a German beer with a Cuban cigar. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Knee deep, hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza, the big show we call The Usual Suspects. It's Nick and Joel in Houston. It's Barry in Little Rock, Arkansas. He'll be back on Monday on an FYF Friday. Having a good time. You guys participating, as always, and we do appreciate that. Barry, you scanning the wire, I take it?
I am. First of all, we are up to 265 of our $500 goal for the day for Nick's fundraiser for his birthday. Y'all need to step it up. Yeah, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, or at the producer Nick on Twitter to find the link. Somebody did say, hey, Nick, where the hell did it go? Oh, man, I got to find it. But somebody was asking if you would... oh, here it says, tell Nick to send me a link on Instagram at the.grateful.red, R-E-D, the color. I don't have Facebook or Twitter to donate, so Nick, find him at or her at the Grateful Red on Instagram.
I will do that.
Get that link out to get that donated. A couple more texts. Somebody said, I just Googled Ashton Womack. One of the first pics I saw was of him wearing that Bill Maddox shirt that you referenced yesterday. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, like this is literally, it's a cool ass shirt. I just wish he wasn't a rapist because I can't wear it anymore. Somebody asked, why can't we get any clips of Barry on Funny Friday? Oh, let me guess, because he's not funny. That was from Nate. Ha 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 ha, Nate. You're so funny. Barkley is a poor man's Maurice Jones-Drew. I don't know if that's the case.
You know what, it's weird. Some people think that he's going to be the best running back in the history of the NFL and that he's just the most unbelievable physical specimen, and other people are on the other end of the spectrum saying he's more of a return guy, he's not going to last, can he be durable, blah, blah, blah. So everybody's going to have their critics. It's just like I was saying with Rose, just go out and prove it. Just like Josh Rosen or anybody else, just go out and prove it. Stop talking. He's not talking. But anybody, regardless of whether people agree with the picks or not, they're going to have ample opportunities to prove themselves, and the cream will rise to the top, and we'll be talking about the guys that are good, and I'm sure we'll be talking about the guys that are bad too.
Somebody asked, OSU Mike said, what about Mason Rudolph? Is he going to go in the second round? And I think a lot of teams that needed a quarterback went out and got a quarterback, right? I mean, Cleveland, the Jets, now Denver didn't, so you might see them do something like that. But
he was a guy, I mean, when you were talking about sleepers. He was a guy when New you were England talking about sleepers. I thought that he could still – there's a lot of people, including For the Win and USA Today, think that at some point he'll end up being a starter in the NFL. That was one of those guys that I thought, after all of the hype of the guys that are going to go early, there's a guy that still has a lot of the tools necessary to be a good quarterback in the NFL. So, yeah. Look, there's teams that need backups, too, that could groom a guy. You know, it's like Jackson and a lot of these guys – they could be lucky enough, although it's going to piss them off, they could be lucky enough to learn for a year or two under a veteran like Lamar Jackson, learning from a Flacco with 1 or 2 years left on his deal. And then when he gets the opportunity and the chance, it becomes a lot easier because the game slows down a little bit as opposed to being thrown right into it right off your rookie campaign, right out of the gates in your rookie campaign. That's hard.
Yeah, and there's teams that, like you said, need backups, but also maybe planning for the future. But I don't know if they would take a chance on him in the second round, but like it just depends on when too they're picking, because you might see a team like New England. You know, we talked about, you mentioned them specifically, that they worked out Lamar Jackson. Maybe New England does take a flyer on Rudolph in the second or third round, or even Pittsburgh. They need to start making plans for Roethlisberger. Jacksonville, maybe, you know, they're, I know in camp, in within the Jacksonville offices, they're happy with Blake Bortles, and everybody else outside of Jacksonville thinks they're crazy, but that wouldn't be unheard of. So I think it's possible, although I don't know at this point if Mason Rudolph would be worth a second round pick. If everybody now is drafting for backups, you might see them all wait till the third round to do that. That's just a guess, though. All right, couple more texts. Mandy wanted to know, is Rosen another Johnny Football? I don't think so. I think his issue is just attitude.
Yeah, I think off the field he's not Johnny Football.
No, he had bigger issues than that. Somebody said, "What do OU Mike and Tornadoes have in common?"
Don't know.
They're both bound to end up in a trailer park. Well, that ain't right.
Oh boy. Or is
and
it?
And then last one, huh?
Or is it?
Yeah. And then somebody wanted to know, have y'all checked out Arian Foster's music yet? It's not bad. And then sent a link, which, of course, I'm not clicking on because I don't click on links. I have not, so I'll have to take your word for it.
I saw him do an interview promoting it. Apparently, that was like his first love, which I thought was kind of cool. I didn't know that he was into music that much.
Got a big billboard on 59 promoting this project, too. It was kind of like a mystery. You could tell it was Arian Foster if you looked closely, and there's like hearts on his shoulder, and it's, I guess, the album cover. But then, it became clear when he started to actually put the tweets out there to to put it all together.
You know why? You know why it's really cool? It's because the name of the album. He doesn't think Tupac is the best rapper of all time, but it's his favorite rapper of all time. And the name of the album is the Cross Streets, the two streets where Tupac was killed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Flamingo and something.
I guess it's Flamingo.
I guess Flamingo
Vegas,
and Vegas,
right?
Boulevard. Yeah. So I thought
Nick,
that was pretty
I don't
cool.
want to give you homework or put demands on you, but maybe find it on YouTube and play us a little ditty.
Yeah, we'll do
play
that.
Us a little something, either going out now or coming back after the break. I'd be interested to hear. I mean, they sent a link, but you know me, I don't trust links because that's how you get diseases.
Now, you're more of a patty guy than a link guy, especially on the breakfast side.
Oh my God, dong him, please.
Oh jeez,
I've been staying away. I did dong him once the day before yesterday, I think. But I've been.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, that's not nice, right, and I don't want to ever hear that again. Thank you.
Here's one for you, Joel. What are the odds the Texans trade up tonight for an offensive lineman or cornerback?
I could see them trading into the second round if the right opportunity presents itself for a guy that they're after. But look, right now, so far, Brian Gaines given me no signs that I need to not trust him. So, I'll trust that if they have the player on their board that they really want, that they feel like they can go get, they will. Otherwise, I think they'll do good with the three picks they have coming up in the third round.
Yeah, I mean, moving up, it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And so it just depends on what, you know, I think they've already obviously spent enough.
I was going to say, are you done digging out and you just want to get back to just having your picks in every round to deal with the way you want to deal with it? Or do you want to set yourself up for more holes to fill in the draft next year because you're giving up picks to get into the second round?
Here's something I've kind of been eyeing and I feel like might happen and kind of did, and we really didn't talk about it, but it won't surprise me, and this would be such a Texans thing to have happen based on the controversy that surrounded him. I could see Orlando Brown falling to the top of the third round.
Yeah.
And the Texans getting him because they need help. They need a tackle. He's a bit of a project. He was hyped up a lot coming out of Oklahoma, and then obviously his draft stock fell.
Dude's big as a house.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
But don't be surprised.
Huge.
I mean, something like that could happen, and I think he would be there for them when they finally get a pick.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see how it all plays out tonight, but we definitely got some basketball to talk about. The Astros are back on the field tonight, facing a guy that just no-hit the Red Sox, Sean Manaea, so that'll be interesting. We can talk about that as well. We can get you your tweets, your texts, your calls, and continue to roll on. We appreciate you being a part of the show. It's the Usual Suspect with hour number three right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.